This is the Truth Network.
The institution of the family is under attack. How do you play offense? What do you do to honor Christ, to raise a godly seed in a dark world where there's so much sin and temptation and those devices, the screens that are dominating our children's lives? If you're a parent, how do you build a family that lasts? And how do you do it yourself? Well, it's a good thing I've got these guests in here today because they're going to help us through it. Wonderful friend and mentor, Dr. Gary Chapman, awesome woman of God and counselor and professor, Dr. Shannon and Warden are both in the studio right now. Welcome to Truth Talk Weekend. So good to have you guys with us.
We're glad to be here, Stu. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Stu. Glad to be with you today.
What an encouragement. And thank you for writing this book. It's much needed. We're just going to break it down and we're going to share with our listeners some encouraging and practical advice to help their families, because that's what we're about. This also will go out on podcast, you know, in all these different areas we're connected with. But we're so honored you're here. I want to kind of ask you the big why, you know the big so what question, you know, why this book? And tell us, give us the nuts and bolts of that, Doc.
Well, I'll tell you how I got involved in this book. Dr. Shannon Warden had an idea and shared it with me. She's my co-author here with us today. And she shared the idea. I like the idea. As you know, Stu, my whole life has been poured into the marriage and family area. And I just felt like this was a really practical approach, a do-it-yourself guide, you know, as opposed to a counselor or a professional doing it, you know, just like you build your own house. You can get a contractor, but it's a do-it-yourself. So we're using the home improvement model, you know, improving your house, but we're talking about improving your home.
Wow. And tell me, Dr. Warden, what's so important about that with families? Why is this, you know, I mean, it seems so basic. I mean, I guess maybe 100 years ago, there wouldn't have been as great a need for this book. But what was the burning passion in your heart that led to this whole thing?
Well, Dr. Chapman and my hearts are both for family and marriages. And so, you know, what can we give? What can we do to help encourage families? They are struggling. We both counsel and have counseled with hundreds upon hundreds of marriages and families. And so, you know, when you hear all of those stories, you look around, you listen to the world around you, and you just know hearts are breaking. Families want to do better, but they're so busy, oftentimes feeling like they are not even sure where to start. And so we, again, our heart being for family, we got behind this book and just hope it's a real encouragement to families.
Yeah, look at these chapters. Wow. Building kindness, increasing gratitude, cultivating love, seeking compromise, choosing forgiveness, improving communication, enhancing trust, developing compassion, increasing patience. I can't imagine that being needed among families. Getting organized, creating fun, and building connection. So there's a whole lot here. Now, I would think, Dr. Chapman, you know, your track record, we would think there were five tools, just like there's five love languages, but this says 12 tools for improving your home life. But kind of what went into all these tools, kind of what's at the heart of each of these, would you say?
Well, what we're trying to do is to help, first of all, couples analyze where they are. So at the back of the book, you know, we have a life inspection, a home life inspection quiz, where they can just answer some questions and identify what area of family life needs improvement. And that's where to start, you know. We know none of us are perfect. None of our families are perfect. So let's identify an area where we need to work. And you don't need to read this book straight through. You know, you might identify one area that's in chapter 7, and you just start in chapter 7. But what we're trying to do, once you analyze where do we need to grow as a family, then we're trying to give practical ideas on how to do that. And these 9 things that we talk about, we call them tools for home improvement. And we try to be very, very practical. We follow the basic plan that, you first have to draw up your plan. So what are we going to do? You know, what's the next step? And in this case, the first step might be to pick up this book, you know, decide which chapter you're going to focus on and say, okay, as a family, let's sit down here and let's talk about what would we like to see improved. And you get a plan, and then you begin moving down that pathway.
Well, Shannon Warden, let me ask you, so many people shop it out. They say, well, I got my kid in a Christian school. I got my kid going to this camp. I've got a coach, a tutor, a piano teacher, so on and so forth. And I'm not denigrating any of those things. And we need more coaches. We need more mentors. But there's something in here that you guys say that, hey, you know, you can hire a contractor to take care of that remodeling job in your home. But there's something about this realization that a man of God, a woman of God in a home, and maybe it's a single mom or a single dad, but they realize, wait a second, if it's going to be, God has called me. So how can you speak to the God-given authority of parents to maybe stop thinking about the subcontractor mentality and take bringing this back to home and maybe actually cracking the word and reading it to their child? I know that's very difficult, and be careful doing that too much because it could change lives. But what would you say about, you know, not shipping them off, but doing it right there? How would you address that directly with our parents listening?
Well, so much of our time is spent together at home, and while there are those other great resources for families, and as you said, Stu, those are tremendous resources, tremendous help to us in raising our children and making sure they're on the right path for life. But, you know, it's the idea of we've got to get in there, roll up our sleeves, and put in the sweat equity, as Dr. Chapman and I write about. You've got to put in the sweat equity ourselves. We've got to draw up that plan that Dr. Chapman was talking about. We've got to then DIY, right? So that's a major concept of the book, that I've got to do it myself before I can expect my kids to do it, or my spouse in that case. If I'm upset with my spouse, if I'm being kinder, he might be kinder, they might be kinder. If I'm showing more gratitude, they might show more gratitude. So it definitely is a fun takeoff on the home improvement metaphor with just that big concept there of we've got to do it ourselves first, hopefully then that our family will follow behind us.
Okay, it's the DIY, which doesn't stand for drive-in yogurt. It stands for Do-It-Yourself Guide to Building a Family That Lasts. 12 Tools for Improving Your Home Life. Gary Chapman, Shannon Warden, they're both in the studio. I can't believe that you're both here at the World Headquarters of the Truth Network, driving our ratings up like crazy. We're also going to offer this as a podcast in some other places like Jesus Daily and some other, you know, our podcast platform, so folks can download this and share this with their family. Families are struggling. Both of you counsel people all the time. The big D, divorce. Kids are struggling. I don't love you anymore like I used to love you. I'm just an easy way out. You could probably pay a preacher enough or a counselor enough to say, oh, go be happy and, you know, check out on that lady that you gave your covenant to, you know, before God and his people to, so on and so forth. Dr. Chapman, can you talk about how this book, and by the way, the book is available now. It's out, right? People
yes.
can get it. Okay. Amazon, all the places books are sold. And this is just a wonderful tool. And it's whole, like all of your books, you know, this is to encourage people, to help people get closer to Christ and change the world for Jesus. But you go in the family, you fix the family, you fix everything. But Doc, you fix something because it's broken. Talk about how the family's broken. The greatest pain that comes to you that would precipitate the writing of this book,
yeah.
What would that be and how you speak into that?
Well, I think perhaps the deepest pain in any family is the sense that the other person really doesn't care. They really aren't affirming me. They don't care about the children. Or if they do, we have huge differences about how to raise the children. And so we get into arguments. And arguments always go downhill, Stu. You know, I think my idea is right. She thinks her idea is right. And so we tell each other where we're wrong. And we go downhill. We don't solve anything. Unresolved conflicts eventually pull us apart. And this is where people get the idea we're not compatible. We should not have gotten married. It's just never going to work out. You know, and I look back on my own marriage in the early days. I know those feelings. I know those thoughts that can run through your mind when you're so different and you don't know how to solve the conflicts. And so you do argue. You say things that are hurtful to the other person. And that's where these tools will help. For example, the tool of kindness. When we yell and scream at each other, that's not kind.
No.
You know, as a kid, we learned the verse, be kind to one another. Hmm. My observation is, however, with children, they'll be kind to you if you're kind to them. Hmm. But you push them or you take their art away, and they forget about being kind. And as adults, we're very similar to that.
Wow.
I'll be kind to you, you kind to me. Hmm. But you say something harsh to me, I'm going to say something harsh to you. Somebody's got to break the cycle.
Wow.
And so the tool of kindness is expressed in both words and actions. Proverbs 15, verse 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath. Mm. We don't have to scream. We can learn to speak softly no matter what the other person wow. says. And when we speak softly, eventually the other person begins to come down off the high.
Okay, we're going to break down that soft answer. All of our radio friends listening to us on radio or on our Truth app or wherever you're listening, one of our maybe wonderful, we have 70 affiliates that carry Truth Talk Weekend now, so all over the country, the Wilkins Radio Network, the Truth folks down in Jacksonville, Florida, all over the place. Stay tuned. We'll take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk more to these guys. When that kid looks at you with blistering heat and says, "I hate your guts, mom or dad," how do you diffuse that if you're a parent? How do you build trust? How much do you trust your kids? Door shut, screens on, 12 o'clock at night. How do you handle some of these dicey situations? And what does Jesus Christ and his cross and his resurrection have to do with any of that? We'll probe deeper. Podcasting folks, you stay tuned too, but we'll come right back after this with Dr. Gary Chapman, Shannon Warden. Hang on. How's your family doing? What do you do when that teenager bucks up, throws something at you, takes off out the house, burns out of the driveway, and you're thinking, am I ever going to see that kid again? Or you're thinking, maybe I hope they don't come back. I'm mad too, right?
I mean,
if we're honest, it's tough. You know, I'm trying to determine if this interview, I'm Stu Epperson, this is Truth Talk Weekend, this is the Jesus Daily Podcast, this is the Truth Network Podcast. We're just so glad you're listening to us wherever you are, and we're so grateful for all of our partners, all of our affiliates. The goal of this message, this audio broadcast on the radio, on podcasts, on the web, on the mobile, is to push people closer to Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save you, change you. He's the only one that can do the impossible. In those impossible situations, how can someone change a heart of stone into a heart of flesh? Well, no one can. It's impossible. Jesus says, with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible, in Luke 18. So this is, we're getting into the realm of the supernatural here. And to help us do that is Gary Chapman, Shannon Ward, two amazing counselors. I'm trying to figure out if this is a therapy session for me or if this is an interview. Guys, I don't know where I stand on that, but I'm gleaning. I gotta write more notes from this. Y'all are amazing. But this book is just so cool, and it's out. It's everywhere. I'm seeing you guys in a lot of places. Congratulations, by the way, on this book launch. So encouraging. Something that's real practical. Thank you for the contribution.
Oh, wow. Gosh, thank you, Stu. We're just glad. And it's you're obviously talking to a man here in Dr. Gary Chapman who has ministered to folks for a lot of years and is a great friend to me, great mentor to me. And so we're glad to provide this hopefully really helpful resource to families.
Yeah, and Doc, you've got a co-author here. I mean, you've said, you know, you could have written any number of books on your own, but lately you've come and joined up and collaborated with some gifted people to even broaden that impact and even impact, you know, maybe a younger author too. So thank you for that. We're seeing a lot of cool mentoring happening in as we read your awesome books.
Yeah, well, I really enjoy working with someone else on books because you get two minds, not just one mind. I want to go back, Stu, and address that whole issue. You talked about a teenager who is angry and who walks out of the room, because I've been there. I remember the night my son and I got into an argument. He was probably 14. I was yelling and screaming at him. He was yelling and screaming at me. And in the middle of the argument, he walked out the door, walked out the house, and slammed the door. And when the door was slammed, I woke up. And I said, "Oh, God, what have I done? I thought I was further along than this," you know, because I knew my response to him was not Christian. And so I sat on the couch. My wife came in and tried to console me. She said, "Gary, that was his fault. I heard the whole thing, and he's got to learn how to respect you and all this stuff." But it's hard to console a sinner. She finally left, and I got on my knees, and I said, "God, forgive me. Forgive me for yelling at my son." You know, if we ask ourselves, if you have a teenage son that yells at you, ask yourself, where did he learn to do that?
Wow.
Chances are he learned from you.
That is something. Things are better caught than taught, right?
Yeah, so eventually he walked back in, and I said, "Derek, could you come in here, son?" And he did, and I said, "I want to apologize to you." And I just poured my heart out to him and told him how sorry I was, that the things I said I didn't mean, that I lost my control. And I said, "I want to ask you to forgive me." Yeah. And he said, "Dad, that wasn't your fault. I started it. And when I was walking up the road, I asked God to forgive me, and I want to ask you to forgive me." Man, we hugged and we cried. And then I said, "Derek, why don't we try to learn together how to handle anger? You know, next time you're angry, just say, 'Dad, I'm angry,' and I'll sit down and we can listen to each other." It was a big turning point in our relationship.
Wow. We have the book in front of us here, the DIY guide, do-it-yourself guide to building a family that lasts. 12 tools for improving your home life. Gary Chapman, who you just heard share that. And thanks for sharing that story. Doc and Shannon Warden, both trained counselors, both have spent a lot of years helping families grow closer to Christ, and they've written this book. This is a great gift to the body, to so many people. Whether you're a believer or not, this is going to help your family. But something you touched on there that I see as a thread through here, and that is this idea of trust, but that trust that flows out of love. There's something about the love of the Father, and there's something about that happens. Now, you wrote a book, Five Love Languages, which has been such a blessing, and what a fun thing to do, to sit around. How edifying to talk about that, you know, and figure that out, and how to meet each other's needs. And again, how can I motivate someone closer to the Lord and encourage them to be all they can be for Christ? But Shannon, you talk about, because you know, you understand parenting and you understand kids. You're a parent of a whole lot of kids in you know, higher education, in counseling. Those volatile moments, does love really cure all things? Is love, you know, go deeper into love, not maybe the glib love that you touch on in the book, you know, also that is just this infatuation, which I understand is actually more addicting than crack cocaine. These couples on social media, you know, 3 months with my heart, and I just want to put on there, you have no idea. You know, in 3 months from now, you're going to hate each other's guts and be miring each other all over the high school, you know. But talk about genuine love and how that, piggybacking on what Dr. Chapman shared, if you would.
Well, God is our Father. He has not left us here alone. First, He's obviously given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us His Word. And so He's actively working in our lives. It's not, okay, good luck. I've dropped you off here on earth, and I'm also going to, you know, hope that you have children, hope you do a good job. No, He is actively involved. And I would say, if we allow Him, God obviously can, you know, He can push through, and thankfully He does push through a lot of our defenses. But the kids, and be they the ones that we're teaching or certainly here now in our home life, they are God Himself bringing us back to Him. I can't raise my kids. Dr. Chapman could not raise his kids had it not been for, and were it not for God. And so I love that you shared that story, Dr. Chapman, of what did you do after Carolyn came in? You got on your knees. And I really do believe, Stu, that, and you know, both of you know as fathers, that God is calling us to that in every day, every interaction, certainly in our work interactions, but in those home life interactions. So what is going on with that child, parent? Take a step back before you rush in and say all of the things that you're going to regret 5 minutes, 5 days later, you know, whatever the case. Before rushing in, pull back. Lord, what are you saying to me right now? How is it that you're trying to get my attention? That's where the planning starts. You want to make home life changes, get in the planning room with the Lord and listen for what the plan is. He's going to give it to you.
Wow. So the Lord has he's the architect. He has the whole plans laid out. And so really connecting, it sounds so easy, but it's just, you know, John 15, abiding in the vine. Dr. Chapman, how fundamental is it that, whether it's a blow up that God miraculously healed in you and your son in a matter of maybe a half hour, an hour, or maybe there's a 30-year protracted wound of a daughter who won't speak to her dad because he was brutal, or a sibling battle. You hear about these things.
Yeah.
How does the supernatural love of God even invade that? And how does what part does the cross have in the power of the gospel?
Yeah. Well, you know, Stu, in our relationship with God, God has given us principles to live by. And they flow out of His love. If He says, don't do this, it's because He loves you. If He says, do this, it's because He loves you. And so when we break those things, the heart of God is broken. And He calls us to confession, to repentance. And I think the same thing, we want our children to learn how to confess when they're wrong. But where are they going to learn that if not from us? And that's why I think we have to learn to apologize. No parents are perfect, you know, but if you do things that are harsh and mean and to your kids, and then you don't ever correct that, the kid learns up, they do the same thing when they get to be parents. But if when you fail, you say to them, you know, I've got to apologize to you. That was not right. And, you know, God, I've asked God to forgive me, and I'm asking you to forgive me. The kids learn from our model more than they learn from our words. So Just, you know, and you take any of these tools that we talk about here, it's not that when we say do it yourself, we're not talking about doing it in your own power. We're talking about parents. Start with yourself and then let it filter down into the children. And with the help of God, you mentioned John 15:5, when Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you hang on to me, you'll bear fruit.
Wow.
Without me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. And so as parents, we need to recognize we cannot be the kind of parent we want to be without the help of God.
And sometimes there's some deep, real deep challenges and root issues, let's say foundational issues in the home. Before I can rebuild my house, I got to get some of that deep embedded mold out, or some of the faulty construction. I got to go deep in there to fix it and to get anchored properly. Now, is that's true of the family too. I mean, and that's where you said the mom and dad find a community. There's this really cool faith community that you guys talk about in the book. I'm trying to remember what it's called. It starts with a C and ends with an H. It's like crazy. People get together all the time and love each other and pull each other out of rough stuff and pray together, intercede for each other, and even take up offerings for each other. What? It's slipping my mind, Doc. What is this thing called?
I think you're talking about the church.
The church, yes. Thank you. Good thing you guys are here, because I almost lost it. I mean, this was going to – my listeners would have just – they would have killed me. But so, I mean, what about that? I mean, where does – and close us out with this. We're out of time. Close us out with the power of a gospel-centered, Christ-centered, word-based community that, you know, the church. If the church can't get into this and be the, you know, the area, the training ground, the hospital, the, you know, the basic training for building families that last. I mean, where else do we go? But we talk about the importance of connecting to everyone out there. Now, look, I don't want to short circuit and get all your answers so people don't go get this book. So there's a whole lot in here we haven't even touched. We've scraped the very surface. But go deep below the surface of the iceberg on this community thing real quick as we wrap up. Shannon Warden, please.
Yeah. Well, you know, you might build a house and think it's done, but then there's maintenance. And truthfully, the same with our relationships. We are building until the last day. And so the idea that we are, yes, building a family that lasts, that's the book title, but the bigger idea there is that you are building until the very last day. Some families, as you have said, maybe have those deep tears in the foundation. Well, back to God being the architect, I love seeing him in that way, and certainly even as the contractor. He is our go-to. There is no greater architect or builder than our Father. But he alone can help us repair those deep foundational problems. And listen, family, you and I both, in this world, we get really distracted, blindsided, and we start to settle for less. Don't settle for some shabby family life. And at the same time, don't think that television is the truth of, oh, if we were only like that. You don't know them. Those are problems in themselves. But come back to your home. Open your eyes. God has made it such that we can have life abundantly, and that is the truth in our family relationships. And I would even say, first and foremost, in our family relationships, life abundant. This book is hopefully a helpful tool that helps you look at that foundation, gets you excited, gives you some real practical ideas on how to start making those changes, living a family life in the same way that God, our Father, the Master Builder, has shown us to live himself. Now, he says, you all do it yourself and see if you don't come out on the better for it. And that's what we believe we've written here. Dr. Tamman.
Fantastic. Yeah. Dr. Tamman, your final words, your parting thoughts to our listeners out there.
I fully agree with that, and I think the Christian church is a place where we can often get help. That's why books like this are often used in churches, in small group studies, where we listen, we talk about it, and then we go home and try it. We come back and share with each other. The church is a family itself, and we have to work through our own growth pains in the family of God.
Wow, and that's the beauty of this thing called discipleship. That's the other word that we need to use more. Because go find a couple that struggled. And that's what I love about you and Carolyn, our family knowing you for all these years. We hear you share. We're like, hey, God can pull us through. Right, Shannon?
Well, I want to just say, speaking of Gary and Carolyn, they were so gracious to come out to the house and let Stephen and I interview them recently. And so folks can find that 30-minute interview online. It's on our websites. Yeah. And if you want to just to have, you won't maybe get it yourself, but we had the great luxury. It'll feel like you're sitting there with the Chapmans, a talk with the Chapmans on what their keys to success have been in their long, successful marriage.
Fantastic. There's a whole lot in this book on their life and your the Worden family as well. The book is the DIY guide. That's the do-it-yourself guide to building a family that lasts. 12 tools for improving your home life. Thank you, Gary Chapman. Thank you, Shannon Worden, for blessing us today. Please share this everywhere you go and be an encouragement. And go home to your family. Next time you see them, wrap your arms around them and say, I love you. Mm-hmm. Apologize where you need to apologize. Keep short accounts. And make it work by God's grace, because you can't do it. Stop right there and say, I can't do it. But God can do it, because his resurrection power is in the believer. If you don't know Christ, receive him.
Yeah.
And bring into your home the power of God, the presence of God, and the salvation, and get plugged into a balanced Bible-believing church. Thank you all. Get this book, you guys. The DIY Guide to Building a Family That Lasts. It's everywhere books are sold, and it's all over the online. You won't have a hard time finding it. But we thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Stu. Thank you. Great to be with you.